charismatic, passionate, has integrity, humble, servant, inspiring, faithful, persevering, positive, flexible, driven.
This is not about theory. This is about application. This is what you're trying to be. This is who we are that call ourselves leaders.
I'm Dave Ramsey, and you're listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Hogan. Welcome to the Entree Leadership Podcast. This month, we have spent the entire month talking about culture, what it is and what you can do and how you can affect it. And I've got my friend here in studio, John Felkins.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. John, you hear this word culture a lot as you're talking to business owners. It is an area that, in my opinion, it can infect or affect a lot of areas.
Yeah, absolutely. The culture of the organization is nothing more than the collective attitudes and behaviors of the team. And the real trick to it is that it's not something that you can microwave. You just can't create it overnight. And of course, as a bunch of type A entrepreneurs, that drives most of us crazy.
It really does. And as you begin to step back and look at your scenario and where you are, you'll figure out as a leader, you have more of an impact on your culture than you think you do. There are some things that you definitely want to do, and there are some things that you absolutely need to avoid all day, every day. And so today we're going to talk about unity and how it's important in a culture that you have to be unified.
Absolutely. And for this conversation, I would almost say that you could replace the word unity and culture. They're in a lot of ways, they're one and the same thing, or you could at least say there's a ton of overlap. So as we talk about these five things that are really enemies of unity, it goes to say the same thing as these are five enemies of a great company culture also.
So as we talk about these five enemies of unity, the first one is poor communication. As you look at this, I mean, obviously, communication, it is the lifeblood of any organization, but we have to be intentional with it. And if you don't have good communication, I'm going to tell you right now, John, you're not going to have unity.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of times we think of communication just as, a conversation, what we like to call the old kneecap-to-kneecap conversation. And that's true. And that's the most effective form of communication when you're eye-to-eye with somebody. But, of course, communication takes a lot of forms. Everything from, you know, a written mission statement to weekly reports to highs and lows, what's going on with the team. So there's a lot of things that go into having good communication. But, if you have poor communication, if this is not something that you're really good at, it's going to act like a tax on every transaction in your business. It's just going to slow things down. People are going to begin to wonder what's going on. They're going to come up with their own ideas with what's coming on, with what's going on. And it's just going to be a huge problem for you if you don't communicate effectively.
Well, I can tell you from years past and other careers that I've worked before getting here, poor communication was obvious. And one of the things that it did, it was very demotivating. When you had no idea what was going on and you had no idea how it was going to affect you, what it does was it made people nervous. And nervous people don't work hard. I'm sorry. That's just called truth. And so as a leader, do a good job of making sure people are aware of what's going on. And I can tell you even here what Dave has done, and I was very impressed with it. Even if there are things where it's a need-to-know basis, mm-hmm. even if it's something that maybe it's not everyone doesn't need to hear, Dave would address it and at least let people know that it's being looked at, we are aware of it, and we're taking steps to deal with it, and we'll keep you posted. That goes a long way for the team.
Absolutely. And here's the thing that people, they don't do this intentionally, Chris, but it happens over and over again. And that is when times get tough, when there's a problem, when there's some kind of conflict, some kind of crisis, something is going on that's not normal. A lot of times leaders, because they're uncertain of what to say, they're uncertain of what to communicate, they withdraw from the team. And they leave this big, huge question mark. But what you're talking about with Dave is the exact opposite. When there's something that's either need to know or, as we like to call it, family business, where we've got to sit down and really talk about something that's going on that wasn't planned, that is a, you know, it's a miss on expectations or really it's a problem, Dave leans into that and makes sure that he's very clear about what's going on. And here's the thing beyond that. Even if you don't know the answer to a question, if you just come out as the leader, just come out and say, you know what? we've got this question in front of us. This thing has happened, whatever it is, and we're not exactly sure which way we're going to go, but here's what we're going to do to figure that out. We need everybody to hang tight here for a week or a few days or a few hours or whatever it is. But if you just keep people up to date on what's going on and you communicate through that crisis, then you don't get all that worry and all that stress and all that distrust that you're talking about that causes people to be ineffective. So you've got to lean into the communication when it's most difficult.
I would say that I would venture to say that most of the CEOs out there today struggle in this area. And it's a great opportunity for the Entree leader to look at communication as an opportunity to be real and authentic.
Yep.
Meaning that this is the opportunity that the team has to see you and to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not that you have to have it all together.
Right.
It's that you have the heart and the spirit to keep the team aware of what's going on,
yep.
The good news and the bad.
Yeah.
Now, John, I'm going to tell you this. This is something that I've seen people make mistakes on. Communicating when you're most upset mm-hmm. and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's where you have a chance. You could ruin a lot of good that you've built up over the last several months
yep.
by having one rant
mm-hmm.
or hurting someone's feelings or embarrassing them in public.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. A lot of times, we just we react in situations and we just start talking or we just start venting or we just start, letting off steam, whatever it is. And we don't think about the emotional impact of our words on our team. And if you're the leader of the organization, this might feel a little bit weird because you're a humble person. You don't think of yourself this way. But the reality is your entire team is hanging on your every word. And so when you start to, vent like that, or you start to just react and don't think through the impact of your words, you can really do a lot of damage, which is what you're talking about. So make sure you think through what you're going to communicate to people before you start talking.
Now, let me give you one other quick tip. If you're a leader, make sure you've got somebody in your inner circle that you can talk and be real with. I'm not saying that you need to be fake,
mm-hmm.
but what I am saying is you do need to be aware of the consequences of the words. Your goal is to lift people up, not to put people off.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tell you, be very clear. Also, another tip is script out what you're going to say.
Sure.
Don't get up there shooting from the hip.
Right.
That's where a lot of people make the most mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we'll go to another one. That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is all throughout our culture in America in the business world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this whole area of gossip.
Yep.
Now, gossip is an enemy of unity.
Absolutely. Yep.
And what is gossip? Because we got to define it first, John.
Sure.
So what would you define it as?
Well, add on to what you were saying about how it's rampant through not just the business culture of today, but just in our culture, in our society. Go to the grocery store, stand there in a checkout line, you're going to see 15 magazines that are all built on gossip. I mean, it's a whole industry in our country. And so when you begin to talk about gossip with your team, don't expect them to immediately understand. Don't expect them to have the same perspective. So you asking this question is really good, Chris, because we need to, as business leaders, ask this question of ourselves, get clear on it, communicate it to our team, and cut through the norm of people talking about each other behind their back. So to directly answer your question, gossip, the way we define it is if you're having a conversation, a negative conversation with somebody who's not a part of the solution, right? So if you're my leader, Chris, and I'm coming to you about somebody on the team and saying, hey, this person's dropping the ball, I need to let you know, what should we do? That is an appropriate conversation to have because you're looking for help. You're talking to somebody that's having a solution. But if, Chris, you and I are peers, and we're talking to each other about a third party and why we don't like them or why we think they're a slacker, and we can't affect that situation, then all we're doing is gossiping. And that's how we define gossip.
Yeah, as you begin to look at it and you start to think, gossip is a thing that pulls teams apart instead of pulling people together. So if you can create an environment where people understand what's appropriate to talk about and what's not, you're going to have half the battle won, in my opinion.
That's right.
Now, it does not mean that you're not going to have problems. See, John, I think people go the other end when they hear us teach and talk about this.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that you can't have an issue that needs to be addressed, but it's like you just said, it's got to be handled appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to go talk to your leader, not to a peer, mm-hmm. and that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Dave's got a great saying. He says the negatives should go up and the positives should go down. So if you've got a praise on somebody on the team, something positive, then go ahead. It doesn't matter who you're talking to, but when it switches over to the negative category, that's when you've got to be so careful. And here's the thing that we've seen, Chris, and I know you've experienced this that yourself. It's an indirect output, an indirect result of not allowing gossip on this team. When you and I know that other people aren't gossiping about us, that builds trust. And that allows all of us to work a lot faster, get a lot more results, move a lot more quickly, think the best of each other, because we know in our company, in this team, this isn't allowed. So we know people aren't stabbing each other in the back. And that's the thing, I'll tell you, that's the thing that people miss. When they're gossiping, you know, if I was talking to you about a third party in a negative way, regardless of what my words are, I'm sending you the message that I could do the same thing to you.
Oh, absolutely.
That you're not safe.
Well, and if you're doing it about someone else, I know you're going to do it about me.
Right.
I mean, I'm not that blind.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm not wired that way. Now, some of our listeners out there are going, are you serious? This is silly. Why would we deal with this? Well, two reasons. Number one, it does affect the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could, as the leader, can have the courage to talk about this, that this is why we don't want this here, because
mm-hmm.
we want this safe environment. The second reason is it keeps people focused, John.
Yep.
Do the job.
Right.
Like, we don't have time to sit around chit-chatting about something negative. And I want to go back and define this. So, for the record, gossip is defined as discussing anything negative with someone who can't help solve the problem. That's the clear definition of it. And so, in that area, you know that it affects unity. People can't focus. Why? Because they're on pins and needles. So let's create an environment where people are respected, where people are trusted, and we can do the job. So this area of gossip is definitely dangerous.
I would just say, Chris, this is one of those areas that leaders need to be decisive about. You need to explain this. You need to roll it out to your team. You need to make sure everybody hears the same message on this. But then when you see it, you've got to act against it. This isn't something that you play around with. And here's the thing. This is what I see over and over again, Chris. No matter how much you talk to people about this, they're not going to really get it until you address it in a real way with one of the team members.
Oh, I agree. And here's the other thing. It's such a norm in our society
mm-hmm.
that the only way you're going to be able to teach your team on this is to be able to give them four or five examples of
mm-hmm.
it. Like maybe do a role play
mm-hmm.
or have something flash up on the screen and say, this is gossip, and show one of them big slashes through it, you know?
Right.
But I mean, it gives people this visual, because I'm going to tell you, it's a different way of thinking.
Yep.
And it, in my opinion, it also requires you to put your big boy and big girl pants on when you have an issue with somebody.
That's right.
And here's the next one, unresolved disagreements.
Yep.
Now, listen, you talk about something that will infect your team is if you've got two people walking around with animosity
mm-hmm.
because the situation didn't get dealt with
mm-hmm.
or the leader wasn't in the loop. And now that animosity is going to build up, and it's going to flow over into many more projects to come mm-hmm. for years to come.
Yep, that's right. And it will go on so long, if you allow it, that people will even forget what the original problem was. And they just come to the next project with a chip on their shoulder or with the disposition that this is going to be difficult, or I don't want to have to work with this person, or whatever that negative thing is. And it's because of something that happened last month or last year. And if you don't get that disagreement hammered out all the way, it's going to affect you from now on. So make sure you, if you're the leader in a situation, make sure you press for that last 10% and get the axe buried.
Well, and listen, the more as a leader you have the courage, and I use that word courage,
mm-hmm.
the more you have that as a leader to go address the situation with both parties, where you begin to get the truth. Because see, John, that's what I do. See, some people would go meet with somebody one-on-one, mm-hmm. and you spend an hour chatting about it, right, and you get all these details. I bring A and B together,
yep.
and we're going to sit down and talk like grown-ups. Mm-hmm. And here's what happens. Every time I've done that, the issue always diminishes.
Right.
It's not that big of a deal.
Yep.
You know, just kind of, well, we just kind of, you know, we just, well, all right, are we clear now, though? Is everybody good? Because this is important.
Right.
And it does take courage to be able to do that because conflict isn't comfortable.
That's right. But, you know, when you're dealing with adults, you got to do what you just talked about, and that is to call them to accountability on this issue and require them and treat them like adults, but require them to say, hey, I'm good or I'm not good. And the reality is, Chris, at the end of the day, we don't all have to agree 100%. We all just have to be in alignment and be willing to move past and you know, come to the place where we can say, hey, this isn't an issue for me. You know, we might not be on the exact same page. We might not agree 100% on this, but I'm okay.
No, I like what you said about being adult, because I think the one thing as a leader you can't get confused is you're not trying to make everyone happy.
Right.
You're trying to keep everybody focused to do the things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have unresolved disagreements lingering right now, what I would encourage you to do is deal with the conflict. And it's kind of like removing a splinter from your finger. If you don't pull that splinter out, it's going to get infected.
Mm-hmm.
And that infection will affect not only your finger, but your hand and eventually your arm, and it'll spread.
Yep.
So what you have to do is cleanse the wound, get the splinter out,
yep.
deal with it. That way, here's what I found. When you have that unresolved disagreement, when it finally gets dealt with, for me, it's kind of, it was always a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of like I feel relieved,
mm-hmm.
and other little things don't have to attach to it and make it grow.
Yep, absolutely.
So, John, as you're talking to people and dealing with unresolved disagreements, because I'm going to tell you, that's difficult for leaders, because you're going to have some people, some personality styles,
mm-hmm.
may not tell you
mm-hmm.
what's bothering them.
That's true. That's true. But as a leader, you've got to be attuned enough with what's going on with your team to see when people aren't, you know, communicating well, not relating well to each other. And that's the thing we're talking about, because you've got to be willing to lean into that. You got to be able to go to somebody, even if you don't like conflict, if you're the leader, you've got to be able to go to them and step into it and say, hey, what's going on? I need to hear. I can tell, you know, you guys aren't firing on all cylinders or whatever it is, and step into that and like do what you talked about, bring the parties together and hammer the thing out.
Well, I'm going to tell you, because if they're not telling you, it's going to affect their work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And so you bring up a good point. As a leader, you have got to be visible.
Right.
You've got to be out there enough for me to be able to see, hey, you know what? John doesn't seem like himself. Let me touch base with him
mm-hmm.
and see what's going on. Now, we have something that can help that as well, because some people are more verbal.
Mm-hmm.
Other people will let you know how they're feeling in writing.
Right.
And so that's why we have our weekly report.
That's right. And that gives them the opportunity to just kind of talk through what went on during the week. But then you know, Chris, the key to this is that down at the bottom of that weekly report, we have that high and that low. And if they will share with you, hey, you know, here's a low for me. You know, I'm having a tough time with this person, because they, like you said, they might do that in writing more comfortably or more readily than they would do that in a conversation with you. And if you have everybody on the team doing that, you're going to start to pick up a pattern and recognize what's going on.
So not only, so to clarify, with the weekly report, they're talking about kind of what their tasks were, what they got done that week, but they're talking about the thing that was the best thing for the week, the high,
mm-hmm.
and then the thing that was not so high.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that you'll find in that low for the week is people will talk about things work-related, but they'll also tell you some things that are non-work-related.
That's right.
And that's where you may hear about someone that's having a family issue
mm-hmm.
or a sick child or whatever, and it gives you an opportunity as a leader to have a connection point with people, but to also go out and to be the entree leader you're designed to be, and that's to be a human and to be understanding, and then you're able to give grace
mm-hmm.
because you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Chris, the way that I think about this is not a problem to be solved, it's a tension to be managed. So you're not ever going to have everybody in the entire team on the same page all the time. You'll if that's your goal, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You just can't solve that problem. You've just kind of got to manage the tension. You got to manage the, you know, where everybody is on certain issues. And it's a spectrum, right? Because on one end of the spectrum is it's kind of like a conspiracy where everybody just agrees to get along. and be nice to each other, and there's no conflict, there's no disagreements, but the reality is we're just all being passive-aggressive. We're real good at this in the South, you know, oh, bless your heart, but the reality is that we're really ticked off at each other. And so then the other end of the spectrum is just open chaos where nothing's getting done because everybody's arguing all the time. So as the leader, you've got to be the one that goes out there with the team and strikes that balance between the conspiracy and the open chaos.
Now listen, we have talked before about hiring. We've talked about that it's important that you want to hire thoroughbreds.
Right.
Right. We don't want the donkeys, as we put it.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you something. People that are focused on results will have more tension between someone else that's focused on results.
That's right.
Thoroughbreds may have some conflict.
That's right.
And so it's going to be really important as you hire smarter. The potential to be able to have that animosity when you have people that are focused on winning, it's all the more reason for you as a leader to be able to have your hand on the pulse, and you need to be a strong leader to be able to deal with them because it could get loud and messy.
That's right. That's right. But at the end of the day, everybody's got to be able to look each other in the eye and say, you know what, we're all going in the same direction. And they might also say to each other, but I'm going to beat you there.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, the competition is good.
That's right.
But I think you're right. As a leader, if you can set that tone that we are going to be respectful, and we may have some disagreements, but as the leader, at the end of the day, you're going to be the person that's making the call.
Yep.
And so what I would encourage you to do as that leader is to sit down, look at both sides, and truly understand the decision that you're making. And guess what? As a leader, John, if you make the wrong choice, watch this magic phrase. I'm sorry. I messed up. I was wrong. If we would hear more of that from leaders, people would say they're human.
That's right.
And I trust this person.
That's right.
And I'll follow them anywhere because they're not playing like they got it all together.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, the next part, the next enemy of unity is lack of a shared purpose. Now we hear this and it can sound frou-frou. Okay.
Frou-frou.
Well, I mean, it can sound ethereal, like this concept, but
you're right,
lack
you're
of
right.
a shared purpose.
Mm-hmm.
How is that, John, something that is an enemy of unity?
Well, you know, it's you were talking about thoroughbreds and donkeys. This is a lack of a shared purpose is like a team of horses pulling in two different directions, right? You're going to spend a lot of energy and not get anywhere if you don't have a shared purpose. But if you're all pulling in the same direction, if you all share the same purpose, you can really get a lot done in the marketplace. And to the extent that you're not aligned, that you're not pulling in the same direction, you're going to get less done. And here's the thing. You've got to be, you mentioned hiring here a second ago, and this plays out in a lot of different ways, but this is the first thing that comes to mind, Chris, is you've got to make sure you hire people that have the same purpose as you. Now, it's great that they're looking for the opportunity that's there as a part of your organization. You want that too because you want people to be driven in that way, but they've got to balance that with, you know what, I'm on fire for the mission. So when we're doing hiring, we're looking at that and we're looking to see if somebody really kind of has that fire in their eye and that they light up. Rick Perry, our HR director, would say, do they light up when you start to talk about the mission and the purpose of what you're doing? Because if they don't, you've got somebody that's just looking for a paycheck.
Yeah, and that's dangerous.
Yep.
So the shared purpose area, it is truly a matter of understanding these two things from a leader. What is the mission and what is the vision? And it's going to be imperative for you as a leader to state that often, and you have to repeat it. Like, you're going to say it so much that the people that have been with you a while are going to roll their eyes. And you know what? When they do that, that's when you know you're saying it almost enough.
Almost.
Almost. And the reason you want to keep saying it is that as you bring in new people, so you've got the new people joining the people that have been with you a while, you're constantly reminding the people that have been with you a while the mission and the vision, and you're constantly introducing the mission and the vision to these new people. As the leader, it's your job. If you don't restate the mission and the vision constantly, then you're going to have a team that has a lack of a shared purpose.
That's absolutely right. And just to point out how important this really is, think about our Monday morning meeting, Chris. Dave brings all 400 and I don't know how many there are now, over 400 people together for an hour. Think about the payroll that sits there in that room and how the phone rings and people aren't being helped and products and services aren't being sold and the impact to the company's bottom line. That's an investment because it's an opportunity for us all to know what's going on within the company, but how many of those staff meetings, all the years you've been here, Chris, and every single Monday morning that they happen, how many times have you sat in one of those staff meetings and not heard Dave reinforce the purpose of this company?
I can't think of one.
It doesn't happen, does it?
No.
He takes that opportunity every single week to drive that home, to remind all of us what we're here for. We exist for the people that aren't in this building. We have heard that over and over again, so you cannot overstate why you're doing what you're doing.
And you know, one example that just popped in my head, and I think we all can relate to, is especially in the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
We all know of those teams that have imploded because they had a few key individuals that were out for themselves and not for the team.
Right.
And we could rattle them off, and you're thinking of the same people I'm thinking of.
Sure.
But you look at that, and you start to think, yeah, there wasn't a shared purpose there.
That's right.
They weren't doing what was necessary for the team. They were doing what was desired for themselves.
Yep.
And so that's that lack of shared purpose. So even if you have salespeople or you have people that are in IT, they got different skill sets. They're wired differently. But at the end of the day, the one common bond that they must have is that shared purpose. And that's going to come through the vision and the mission statement. As a leader, if you don't have one, if you're not sure about your mission statement or your vision, you need to sit down immediately and give that some thought and start to figure out, how can I articulate this and how do I communicate it?
You're right. And to go back to what you said when we started talking about this enemy of unity, this can feel frou-frou for the business leader to stop and say, you know what? Am I really wired in tight to why we're doing what we're doing? Because you and I, Chris, have both sat down with people and we've asked them, why are you in business? Why are you doing what you're doing? And sometimes they look at us with a blank stare and say, well, you know, this, my dad gave me this business, or my mom gave me this business, or I don't know, you know, I mean, it's how we make a living. And then they wonder why their team doesn't get excited about what they're doing. If they can't explain it to themselves, how do they expect anybody on their team to understand it or get excited about it?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, and so it's worth the time. It's worth the energy to really sit down and stay connected to that and make sure. And you were hitting on the key ingredient, in my opinion. I think it's the secret to business, passion.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to bring that. You have to have it. The team will follow you if you have it.
Mm-hmm.
They will begin to get a little bit more excited if you have it. And I think that's why on Mondays we do that as a whole team.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Dave is trying to get us to come in and mentally reset. That weekend is over, and we're back to doing business.
It's game
time. We
have
people to help.
That's right.
And so it is that reset. So it's not time wasted. It's time invested.
Absolutely.
The final enemy of unity that we're going to talk about here on the podcast is sanctioned incompetence. Now, we if you're working out there in corporate America, or if you are a business owner or a business leader, we've all seen this at some point in our career. John, what exactly is sanctioned incompetence?
Well, first of all, it's something that when you say it, it just makes me mad. This gets me more fired up than anything.
You are looking at me kind of angry. I'll
tell you what.
What's wrong with you?
This drives me crazy because I see it so often. And it is where the leader is just spineless. They're just unwilling to take the step to call somebody accountable, hold them accountable for what they should be doing in the role. And the thing that infuriates me the most, Chris, and it's because I've experienced it myself that gets me so fired up, but where I see it over and over again is especially in family businesses. You know, it's like we because we're related to this person, we're going to keep them in diapers into their 40s. We're not going to let them grow up. We're not going to allow them to be an adult because we're not going to hold them accountable for what their role in the business requires. And then what happens is everybody else on the team sees that and they understand, you know what? If this person is getting a pass, then I'm going to get a pass too. And so everybody settles to the lowest common denominator of what's allowed on the team. And that's a recipe for mediocrity.
No. And so as we look at this, sanctioned incompetence is where you have somebody that's not ringing the bell of excellence. Maybe it's in their attitude. Maybe it's in their work performance. Maybe it's even in social interactions or not showing up to work on time. They're not doing what's necessary. And when you see that as a leader and you don't address it, that's the sanctioned incompetent.
You just put your seal of approval on it, is what you did.
At silence, is approval.
That's right.
I teach that to my boys all the time. Yep. I want them to understand. And so you look at that and you go, okay, I have to be careful what I'm giving approval on, because here's where you become a hypocrite as a leader. If your rock star is getting away with doing some things, and then you've got your no star that's not doing certain areas, and you don't say anything to the rock star, but you're all over the no star,
mm-hmm.
that would be sanctioned incompetence, where you're
both
not
ways.
Dealing on this side of it equally.
Yep.
And so as a leader, you need to be careful there. You want to make sure you're addressing it. But here's the difference, and I want to clarify something. There is a difference between sanctioned incompetence and extending grace.
Absolutely.
Now, here's a prime example. If you have somebody that's going through a life situation, maybe it's in a divorce, for example,
mm-hmm.
and you know what's going on, this person is affected, their head's not in the game. As a leader, if you know that, what you're then able to do is extend some grace to that individual because you know what's going on in their life. Now, as you're doing that, you want to make that individual aware that you are extending grace. You want to gain an understanding of how much time is needed. Do they need to take some time off? How, as a team, can you cover for that individual? But I think it's also important when you have those scenarios as a leader that you're communicating to the team, respecting privacy and confidentiality,
mm-hmm.
but let them know. For example, I did this very thing. I let the team know, hey, I wanted you all to know Ron has got some life things going on right now. So he's going to be working a flexible schedule. We're going to be picking up the slack to support him during this time. You're on a need-to-know basis. If you need to know, he's told you. So don't wonder. Don't speculate. Let's just stay focused and respect it at this time. As a leader, by doing that, what I've just done is I've acknowledged that production has fallen off. I also acknowledge that I know exactly why it's going on and that I've got his back.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the team feel reassured that as a leader, I am in touch, I'm connected, and I'm doing something to try to help.
Absolutely. That's right. And it sends a message to them that you care about Ron and that you care about them and that you're going to be there when there's tough times. But I really think, Chris, that what you said before about the rock star and the no star, that people trip up on this with the rock star more often than they do with the no star. Because the rock star, you know, a lot of times I see it with the lead salesperson,
mm-hmm.
Because they're ringing the bell, they're bringing in the money in the door, and then we begin to feel like we're hostage to their skills, and we're afraid that we can't replace them, and so we don't hold them accountable.
Did you just say hostage?
I said hostage.
That is exactly, I have used that phrase over the years with a lot of people, and you don't know how many people feel as a leader that they're held hostage by a couple of rock stars or people that are performing at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, John, that I don't think they understand is, although this person is bringing in some results, they're wreaking havoc on the culture. They're wreaking havoc on the team, and it's not healthy.
That's right. And you're just displaying yourself day after day as a weak leader by not addressing those issues.
Wow, that's heavy words there, John.
Well, it's the truth.
I mean, dang. You're right, though. I mean, you can't be held hostage.
No.
Which goes back to all the stuff we've talked about with hiring. You got to make sure you're looking for better than what you have.
Yep.
But don't let anyone be above the law.
That's right.
Don't let anyone disrespect your workplace and your company
mm-hmm.
because they think they can get away with it.
Right.
Now, let's talk about this. If I've got somebody that's not ringing the bell of excellence,
mm-hmm.
you and I would typically go head on
right.
and address the situation.
Exactly.
Right? There would be clarity.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe we shouldn't at 150 miles an hour.
Okay.
But there's some times where you have to back up, and I think you have to give appropriate response
mm-hmm.
to the level of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the way I like to look at it, it's like a thermostat. You know, the temperature is set fairly low the first conversation. It's more of a coaching conversation. Hey, Chris, I noticed you came in a little bit late today. Everything good? And you say, well, yeah, there was an accident on the interstate or whatever it was. And then it never goes any farther than that. But if then the second day you're late again, and the third and the fourth, every time we have a conversation, that thermostat gets turned up just a little bit, and there's a little bit more heat. So there's no surprises. And you've given people, you know, you've telegraphed your past. They know where you're coming from on this issue. And you have the opportunity to extend them some grace. They know what you're thinking on this. But when we get down the road a little ways, Chris, it starts to get pretty hot. And you're following those conversations up with an email. There's clarification to the point where it's, Chris, if you don't show up when it says 8 o'clock, on the clock in my office, bring your box because we're done. And at that point, you've emotionally divorced yourself from them and it's over. And they've seen it coming all the way.
Yeah, well, you eliminate the guesswork.
That's right.
You know, but again, it goes back to this whole courage factor. If you won't bring it up, and here's the thing, and I did this in the past. Someone would show up late. I wouldn't say anything. I was frustrated internally because it really bothers me, but I would start to treat them different because I was frustrated about that other thing.
Right.
That's not fair.
Nope.
It's not.
You know, Dave always says it's unkind to be unclear, and that's what you're talking about.
I tell people all the time, we don't have to get mad to break up. That's what I would tell them in business. But just being very honest, I'm not going to do all that. I'm not going to waste emotional energy, but I am going to address it because I want to give people every opportunity to get in the boat and to be that productive team member that I hired them to be.
That's right. And this is a perform, like you said this a second ago, Chris, these issues are around performance issues. So we really use a process. We really walk with people. We're really clear about it. You know, we really put a plan in place to fix things, to improve things. And that's how we handle performance issues. When it's an issue of principle, it's not like that. When it's an issue about gossip, morality, ethics, legality, those kind of things, we act decisively. There's not a long process. We've been clear about it in the past, and we move against it. But when it comes to the performance issues, you got to be clear. You got to make sure that you can flip that switch as the leader and walk with somebody.
Yeah, and like you said, it is unkind to be unclear in these areas. So you have to talk it through. So we've looked at these, and as we talk about culture and focusing on it this month, this fight against the enemy of unity, these things are all things you as a leader, you have to be very aware of. I want you to make conscious decisions to make sure that you're battling against these. I want you to be intentional with your actions, because the more you do this, the more you're creating this environment, you're creating a group of people that trust you, that trust the mission and vision of the business, and guess what? They can focus on doing their job to the best of their ability. And when you do that, everything will rise. The business can go further, and it can go faster because you have everyone in the boat. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I really appreciate it and enjoyed it.
Now listen, tell me, update me on All Access. What's going on in that world?
Yeah, Chris, we are doing a ton in All Access. And the best way to find out about that is just go to entreleadership.com, see everything that's going on there. One thing I will mention is on a very regular basis, almost weekly, we do free e-coaching sessions. And what e-coaching is really just an interactive webinar where we're doing group coaching online with some piece of the content from Entree Leadership. And the best way to find out about those, Chris, is just go to entreleadership.com, click on solutions, and then click on e-coaching, and the whole list of topics is there that we're going to be covering.
Wow. So I would encourage you all to go over to entreleadership.com and join the conversation. But also, listen, send us your questions that you may have on how do you fight against these enemies of unity that we spent time on. Email us your questions that you may have at podcast@entreleadership.com. Stay plugged into this Entree Leadership stuff. Keep learning and keep leading. And until next time, grow yourself, grow your team, and grow your profits.